Hi, and welcome to By Lightning, the podcast nobody asked for.
I'm Bridie.
And I'm Kirsty. And today we're going to be discussing dating while bi.
We'll also be talking about some of our favourite bi cons.
And we'll be chatting about bisexual stuff we found on the internet.
Okay, Kirsty, I think the question bisexual people are most often asked is, do you have a gender preference? And I really want to know your answer to this question.
It's tricky because kind of when it, I don't think when it comes to sex, no. But I think I'm not, I don't think I'm particularly bi-romantic as such. I have had a girlfriend before. I've had a relationship, same-sex relationship. But for me, it wasn't the right person. And I've not really had much of an opportunity to get into a relationship with somebody I wanted to be in a relationship with who was of the same sex. So
would you say you're more like heteroromantic then?
Yeah, I think so. Or I have been up to this point anyway. Heteroromantic, yeah, definitely for me. How about you?
So definitely romantically and sexually attracted to both men and women, and people who don't necessarily fall onto the gender sort of binary. However, I think if you looked at my dating history, it's now a pretty 50-50 split. Although if you asked me like face to face, I'd say my preference is more towards women, but the numbers don't lie. It's basically 50-50 now.
Yeah. I would say sexually, I've definitely slept with more men than women, I think.
I thought you were really about to shock me then. I thought you were going to say I've slept with more women than men. I'm like, where have all these stories been?
No. No. Yeah, but again, I don't know if it's just sort of lack of opportunity or what, to be honest. I mean,
if you just don't meet somebody that you fancy who happens to be of the same sex, then you just don't meet them, do you?
Yeah, that's it.
Here's a question. When you use dating apps, do you set it to just men, just women?
Oh, no, I set it to both.
Oh, so you're completely open to the possibility of dating a woman again?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But unfortunately, it's slim pickings, isn't it?
It is a little bit, to be honest. It is in this town anyway. I've always said that dating is it's quite a shallow puddle here where I am. I wish if I lived in a big city like you, then things would perhaps be a lot different. But unfortunately.
Imagine me moving to a big city, but being in a relationship and not having any chances whatsoever to sow my wild oats.
Imagine that.
But I'm not complaining.
No, you're all happy.
I'm all loved up. It's sickening, really.
I know. See, Jesus, we see what we've done. We see what you've done for Bridie, and we want that for me.
Are you praying to all the deities? You're like, need me some of that shit. Need me a slice of that pie.
Need me a freak like that.
And by freak like that, you mean somebody to hold you at night.
Yes, please. Just anyone. I'm really, honestly, I'm not fussy at the minute. Literally anybody. I'm even thinking of digging out that maternity pillow again. You know, that gigantic pillow that I got. Because it feels like you're being hugged.
I don't know why you would ever put that away.
Because it was getting ridiculous. There was just no room in the bed.
Kirsty, did you name it? That's the real question.
No, I didn't. I really missed a trick there. I perhaps should have named it, to be honest.
You named something... it like Gregory.
No, I was thinking something non-gender specific, to be honest. It could have like a name that could be for anybody.
Just like an Alex.
Yes. See, Alex is a really good one. Because
you can't do that though, because your friend's called Alex.
And I know.
You,
see, that might be...
You cannot be hugging that body pillow.
She might be on it. Hey, she loves a cuddle, does our Alex. She loves a cuddle, God bless her. So
it'll get a little too real though if you draw a face on it and give it ginger hair.
I'll ask her later. Would it be weird?
So my question to you is, you said you had a girlfriend in the past. Was this your first same-sex sort of, maybe your first same-sex relationship, but was it your first same-sex encounter? Or have you had other
encounters? No, it wasn't my first same-sex encounter. I'd say my first ever same-sex encounter was when I was like, God, I was 17, I think. And my boyfriend at the time kind of used it as a, you know... Being 17 years old.
I know where this story's going already.
Yes.
Disgusted.
he wanted me to get off with another girl, to kiss another girl, because he thought it would be just late for him. And obviously I was pretty open-minded. It was just nothing that I'd ever put a barrier up to in my mind. So I was like, yeah, no problem, I'll kiss the girl. Who was my friend at the time, who was one of my good friends at the time. And I just remember feeling quite... Like I say, I'd never said never about the whole thing. I didn't think I was particular one way or another. I'd kind of thought girls were pretty and stuff. But obviously I was just kind of madly in love with this guy at the time. So he was like, kiss your friend, you know, kiss this girl. And I remember thinking, oh, it's nice. It's just like kissing anyone, you know. I remember thinking it was more gentle, but it didn't feel any different than kissing anybody else. And I thought, hey, we might be onto something here, lads.
Was she an active participant in the kiss? Did she kiss you back, or did she just kind of let it happen?
Oh gosh, yeah. We're all about consent. Into it as well, so that's you know, she was. It was just a drunken snog, really. It was a bit sort of peacocking, I suppose.
Which is gross,
and I wish
bit,
I hadn't have done that.
Maybe
to be
put
honest.
A little bit more into it.
Yeah, possibly. That was my first ever, and then a couple of years after that. Same friend actually went away to university, and I went and visited her, and she had a friend who was bi, and yeah, we just kind of hit it off basically, and that was the first lady that I spent some grown-up time with and then I got my girlfriend a couple of years after that. So
with your girlfriend, would you say there are any key differences sort of between dating her and dating the men you dated before?
I can't really put my finger on it, to be honest. Yes, there is a difference. There was a difference in the dynamic. In some ways, it was kind of easier, I think, because I felt a bit more relaxed in being, I don't know, being with somebody who was a girl. I don't know. I've always kind of felt a little bit on my guard with guys, like more, I don't know, because of the type of chat that I've sort of tended to go for in the past.
Yeah, not really like an all men thing, but just like a, in your
yeah,
personal
in my
experience,
personal
you've
experience.
Had reason to be
yeah,
guarded. Just,
yeah, definitely reason to be guarded with the chaps. Whereas it was, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was, I remember it being quite fun going out with her. She was obviously very mask presenting. She was unequivocally not bi, or, you know, not a bit of hetero in her. She was, you know, she would, there's absolutely no way that she would ever have touched a guy or gone near a guy. She'd never even kissed a guy, you know. She was blessed.
Oh, what do they call that? There's a word for that.
What was that?
Gold star. Gold star.
That's
lesbians.
Amazing. Yes, yeah. If there was a gold star lesbian,
I think
was
there's
it.
There's stuff to unpack with that. Some people like the term, some people dislike the term, because it can obviously, it's very exclusionary.
Yes,
is that the right word to bi people?
So, yeah.
But yeah, but I mean, you know, if you're a gold star lesbian, you're a gold star lesbian.
I'm pretty sure she wasn't unaware of that label. It's just she never had any, you know, she was very, she sort of...
How old were you?
Oh gosh, at the time, 20.
Well done her for like being so sure of herself and her wants and her desires from whatever age she became sexually active. She was just like, no, it is women, 100%. I'm not going to be bent by socially enforced heterosexuality or compulsive sexual heterosexuality.
Yeah, no, she was undeniably, again, as I've said, she was very mask presenting. She would call herself the littlest butch. She had very short hair. She walked around with a swagger. She was kind of tough, you know. She was very rough and tumble. She kind of had a little bit of a reputation for being quite tough. She got into a few scraps. She was very scrappy.
She sounds fun though. She sounds awesome.
Yeah, she was fun. And she had kind of, at the time, I mean, this was going back a little while, and sort of like she was quite into tattoos when women were less, women displayed tattoos much less. So, and she had tattoos in places that weren't, at the time, considered to be very sort of typically feminine at all.
Because yeah, kind a sleeve like, yeah. tattoo was always considered, yes. I thought, to be
and,
more masculine.
And definitely leg tattoos and neck tattoos as well always used to be considered to be more masculine at this time anyway when
yeah
I'm
it's a bit different now, isn't it?
Yeah it's a lot different now, but yeah. How about you though? Tell us about your first date.
No, I can't really remember my first same-sex encounter. I know that it was weird. There kind of came like a handful of them all at once, if that makes sense. It was definitely when I was in like sixth form, I think.
Yeah.
And I was out partying a little bit more. I was at parties where there were like alcohol and stuff. I was meeting a load of new people, And it was always like a spin the bottle, truth or dare sort of situation. And like the first, I can't remember the first time it happened, but like I knew immediately, like I kind of got it in my head that I was like, this is fun. This is awesome. And then I was that awkward little kid at the party that was always like, shall we play spin the bottle? And everyone's like, Bridie, no, can we just do anything else? And I'm like, dude, I'm here to kiss bitches. That's horrible. I wish I hadn't said bitches. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
But yeah, and all the lads were like, oh, you know, is there a guy here you fancy? And I was like, what? Oh, and I was just so like closeted about it. It was weird because I knew I liked guys and I knew I was attracted to guys. And for some reason, me knowing that and having that information, it was either you liked guys or you liked girls. So I was like, well, I like guys, so I'm not a lesbian. So there is nothing that deviates from heterosexuality about my sexuality. And I just never gave it any thought, like it wasn't on the radar, even though I knew bisexual people and a lot of my friends were bisexual.
Yeah, you just never kind of applied it to you maybe at the time.
Yeah, and I grew up and you know, I grew up watching a lot of things like sitcoms like Friends and Scrubs, and I'm definitely in Friends, I'm not so much sure about Scrubs, but like in the media I was consuming, when bisexuality was brought up, it was brought up very fleetingly. It was kind of the punchline of jokes. It was when, you know, people were gay on telly, but like the joke was that bisexuality wasn't real. I mean, there's still a joke about that now, like people always say bi now, gay later. Yeah. Kind of thing. But you know, that was like the punchline, the joke at the time. It was like, eventually you will pick a side kind of thing, or you're just kidding yourself, you're obviously gay and you're just trying to not come out as gay because you're afraid kind of thing. Yeah. So it just wasn't presented as an option ever, whereas I knew that there were gay people. I'd seen gay people in Buffy the Vampire Slayer and also in Sailor Moon, and I knew they existed, and I was like, yep, cool, awesome. But bisexuality was just not really a thing, even though, again, I knew bi people, and I entirely blame the media for that, for my latent realizations.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean about the whole punchline kind of thing. Being bisexual, viewed at, and it's by gay and straight people as well. It's almost like you're neither fish nor fowl. But according
to
some
people,
it's hard
to sort of be comfortable in either community.
Yes. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. So we were gonna talk about what did we like about dating while bi and what don't we like, and I think that's probably one of ours, isn't it? What we don't like anyway is the whole being treated as a bit of a punchline thing, to kind of segue into that.
Absolutely.
I'd say that there's not much I don't like about it, but and
I've
it.
Got a list.
Have you? Oh, please, yes. No, tell us.
Number one on my list is, and you actually brought it up immediately, is like the fetishization of bisexuality and it is unfortunately usually by cis straight men. Back when I was on Tinder, I was open and out as a bisexual woman, even though I kind of lean more towards identifying as pansexual these days. I kind of use the two interchangeably, actually. But yeah, I was out as bisexual on my Tinder profile, and you know, I cannot keep track of the number of guys that were like, oh, so do you want to have a threesome, me and my girlfriend, or ones that are like, oh, you know, tell me about your sordid sexual affairs with women. It was obviously just so they could get their jollies out of it. It was really grim, and I'm not shitting all over polyamory. I'm a big advocate of that. You know, I've dabbled in it myself a little bit, but people, when they meet you on a dating website, the first thing they do is get weirdly sexual with you, and it's about your sexuality.
Yeah.
It's am I right? Am I allowed to say I found it really offensive?
No, you can say that. I think
I don't
want to
sound
offensive.
Uppity, but yeah,
no,
I was like
definitely.
Immediately offended by it.
Yeah, no, you're right. And there are a lot of people when you're dating that will try and find any little hook to kind of turn things immediately sexual, and I think that's just an easy one for them, isn't it, when they find out that you're bi.
Yeah, it's got the word sex in it, hasn't it? Bisexuality,
yeah.
They're like, sold!
Honestly, they were literally, like, anything. I mean, obviously, my job in the real world is involves sometimes reviewing sex toys, and, you know, when once guys find that out, it's usually guys that have an issue with it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And when I say issue with it, it just becomes...
They make it weird.
Yeah, they make it weird. And it's like, this is just my job, you know? It's just sort of part of my life. It's just a part of who I am. Why do you have to turn this into
people have sex.
Yeah, people. Yeah, exactly. And you're not going to get any if you don't sort your life out. You look
yeah, if you can't be fucking respectful for 5 minutes. I also found that because for those of you who don't know, Kirsty and I used to actually work together, mainly doing things like copywriting and editorial in the adult industry. Not remotely exciting in any shape and or form. but like the minute I would like, you know, somebody would ask about what I did, and if I was, you know, and I'm a very honest person, very open person, you know, I'm happy to tell people, but like people kind of fell into two camps. The first camp was, oh, okay, that's nice, and immediately didn't want to talk about it ever again. And the second camp, and it was, again, usually cis straight guys, and they would be like, oh my God, tell me everything. But also, it wasn't like, you know, a genuine interest because it's interesting. Yeah. And I have had conversations with women where it has just genuinely interested them and they like genuinely just want to know more. With these guys, it was obviously, you know, they would ask for information and then they would make a running commentary that obviously let you know that it was super sexy to them and they thought you were like a right dirty biatch.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm trying to tell you about my job. I'm like, do you mind? This is so inappropriate. Yeah. Yes, it's to do with sex, but like, it doesn't mean that you can have a wank about it.
Yeah, and also they kind of, once they kind of attach that little sort of label to you in their minds, then it's like, right, well, she's obviously, you know, very sexual, and I've probably got a chance here. And it's like, sir, just because I like sex doesn't mean I'm indiscriminate, doesn't mean I'm flinging it around here, there and everywhere. You know, it's just, I still have autonomy.
You could open the box of the whole Madonna whore sort of duality and complex that a lot of people have. You know, you're either completely pure, you could never be involved in anything like that. You know, they either put you on that pedestal of being the Madonna, of being the pinnacle of purity, or you're right down there, you know, as a whore. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate that a lot of people can only operate within the confines of that binary when they think about women. I think it's really tragic.
Yes.
And especially bisexual women immediately. I think being bisexual automatically like is a point towards the whore column. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being a whore. There's
absolutely
nothing wrong with selling
not.
Sex. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to think that. It's just, there is something wrong with the way the world treats people like that.
Exactly. Sex work is valid. Sex work is work.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, we do need to change a lot of our vocabulary for a start, isn't it? I've stopped saying the word prostitute now. I use the word sex worker.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever really used the word prostitute. I don't think, and that's not me trying to be pious or anything like that, or like, you know, it sounds superior. It's just not a word that was in my vocabulary. And I guess this kind of brings us back around to, because I definitely have a long list of things I don't like about dating while bi, but like, what do you like about dating while bi? What have you enjoyed?
I like the fact that I don't, you know, I'm not kind of, it feels like it opens up a bit more of a world of choice for me, you know? Men have a specific kind of particular energy, whereas it's kind of nice to experience sort of that more feminine energy, I guess. And obviously I'm generalizing wildly here because obviously my girlfriend, as we discussed previously, had a very masculine energy. But
yeah, because, you know, people who are like assigned female at birth can present with a masculine energy and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. But I just think it's nice. I just think it's and you know, ladies on the whole tend to be a bit squishier. I kind of like that.
Just say boobs.
It's a Well, not everybody has boobs. I mean, I don't have boobs. I just have vaguely squishy areas, but...
You're a member of the EBT committee, aren't you?
Absolutely. I'm proud of it. But yeah.
I've seen them.
It's weird,
good.
Though. I'm trying... Oh, thank you very much. I'm trying to kind of think of things that I like about it, but it just sort of seems... I don't know.
It almost seems self-explanatory.
Yes.
Obviously, you like having more choice.
Yeah. It's just kind of, yeah, I just think it's... You're not kind of, I don't know, I just feel like if men were all that was on the table, I would feel a little restricted somehow. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. For me as well, like, I remember somebody saying to me, oh, you know, you're bisexual, isn't that great that you've basically got double the chances of finding somebody? And at the time I was basically running up a lot of rejections from women, which you know, stung a little bit. Again, I think it was more to do with the area that like my dating profile, like the radius was set to, and there was like maybe a handful of like women who were dating women. And I always used to think, you know, yeah, okay, maybe double the chances of finding somebody, but also double the rejections. Imagine finding out nobody wants you and that's extended to both men and women and people not on the gender binary. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, babe. It's just
sometimes... I was like, I'm hideous.
Oh,
but it's just a timing thing. It really is.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes you just have dry patches, don't you? Sometimes it's like, right, that's it. I'm repugnant to everybody. Nobody's interested. And then the next, I'm like messaging like five different people on a date. You know what I mean? On a dating app
it's
or something.
Blowing up.
And I'm like, oh, come on. What? It would be better if they were all a little bit spread out so I could focus my attention a little bit better.
Yeah, feast and famine, isn't it?
It is really? Feast and famine. You're absolutely right.
And with regards to that, this might be a nice segue into how has your experience of dating been like throughout coronavirus? Because obviously I'm in a long-term relationship, so I'm not really looking around for things at the moment, but you're actively dating at the moment, aren't you?
Yes, and it is terrible, honestly. It is awful.
Is it dry?
It's dry. It's dry. But I guess it's weird because for the longest time we were... kind of, oh, you know, we might be let out. We've been locked down. We've been let out. We've been locked down again. It's hard, isn't it? And I haven't quite believed it myself for quite a long period of time that we would be let out. Or thought, yeah, it's just hard. I don't think anybody's ever wanted to kind of commit to anything, or you know, mental health. I think has been an issue for people because nobody's kind of...
Oh, these are all like roadblocks.
Yes, nobody's quite their usual sort of sparkling sort of self, are they? We don't know when we can get out and meet them. You know, even people wanting to meet me has been a red flag because I'm like, are you mental? You know,
which which is an interesting sort of pitfall of dating in corona times because it's like you want to meet somebody, but not now. Like,
yeah,
we have to keep it online.
Exactly. And and some people don't like doing the pen pal thing, and it's, you know, which is what they call it when you're just messaging constantly.
If you asked me like what my style on dating apps was when I was single as well, I would always say get to meeting somebody as quickly as possible, because for me, I think it's really important, and this is going to sound so millennial, to get like a vibe check immediately with somebody, because you can really mesh with somebody over text, you can really mesh with them over Messenger, and then when you meet in person, there's just no spark. And then, as horrible as it is to say, you know, if you dedicate like a ton of time into messaging back and forth and you really think you're vibing with someone, and then you meet them and they are a wet mop, it's like, oh shit. Like all this time and they're never gonna get there, and it's like, oh god.
No, I know, and that is obviously an issue as well. I did manage obviously to have a couple of dates between sort of lockdowns and stuff, and yeah, that didn't kind of work out. As to whether it was to do with coronavirus, I'm not sure. But yeah, I remain hopeful. I think it'll be nice when they do let us out.
To those of you listening, Kirsty actually let me swipe through her Bumble a couple of months ago when things had lifted slightly, we were allowed to see each other, and oh my gosh, that was fun. That was so much fun. Your dating pool in the small town you live in, a lot of the same guys, a lot of the same type of man, which is interesting, and not a lot of women at all, even though you had it set to both genders.
Yeah, absolutely. It was identical. They're all the same. They're all called Paul or Gary. They all have 2.4 children.
Yeah, and they all like hiking, and that's their personality.
Yeah, which is, again, you know, nothing against hiking, but come on, boys. Not even a bio half the time. It's like, come on, people. I do find women are a bit better at putting stuff like bios and personal information on stuff like that.
I cannot stand it when you are on Tinder or Bumble or whatever you're on and it's a picture and no bio. I'm like, why would I put the effort in to speaking to you if you're not even going to put the effort in to write a bio and tell me a little bit about you? Like, I've got nothing to go on.
Exactly. It's hard, isn't it? You know that the conversation's probably going to be pretty dry.
You could make any assumptions off of that kind of profile, I would say so.
Definitely. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're just shy and they're just having a nightmare. Maybe I should give these people a chance. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I do find women are a little bit more, they sell themselves a bit more, I think. They provide a little bit more information, whereas I find that the chaps need a little bit of prodding to kind of share a bit more, in my experience anyway.
Yep, completely understand. Have you ever experienced any homophobia or biphobia? You know, because obviously so nobody can sort of tell your sexuality upon looking at you. So I say homophobia in case, you know, people have interpreted you to be in like a lesbian relationship or whatever. Have you ever experienced anything like that on a date when you've been out and about? Not necessarily from the person you're dating, obviously.
No, I don't think I have, actually. I've been quite privileged in that way. The only thing I would say that I've possibly experienced is men being more fetishizing, you know what I mean? No, I don't. I've never had anybody I know it happens. I was reading a story actually last week about a woman who was in a bar, and this was years ago, mind you, this is about 10 years ago, this story, but she was kissing, and some big burly guys we were obviously a little unreconstructed, but yeah, ended up throwing her out and hitting her and throwing her down some stairs.
Oh, did you say she was kissing a girlfriend?
Yeah, she was kissing a girlfriend, and yeah, obviously in a place which was, I think, I got the impression from reading the story, it was a little bit of a small town.
Yeah.
A little bit of a small town attitude. Yeah. So, but luckily, fortunately, no. How about you? Have you?
I have, in a sense. I wouldn't necessarily say phobia. I don't know. Could you classify this as biphobia? I've been out on a date with a girl before. I've been in a bar with her, and a group of guys have come up and like tried to buy us both the drink, thinking we're just two mates out. And, you know, I'm as horribly presumptuous as it is to turn around and immediately say to somebody, look, please don't buy me a drink if you're thinking of like getting off with me. I do feel like sometimes you just have to do that. And I remember turning around and being like, yeah, absolutely. Let me just ask my girlfriend what she likes as a like indication. And the guys turned around and went, you what? And they were really like, no way, no way, no way is she your girlfriend. There's no way. You're just saying that because you don't want us to buy you a drink. Just say it if you don't want us to buy you a drink. You don't have to pretend to be a lesbian. I was like, I'm not a lesbian, I'm bi. So I didn't say that, but I was like, come on. And then I was like, no, genuinely, this is actually our second date and you're kind of making it a little bit awkward. And one of the dudes turned around and was like, prove it, prove that she's your girlfriend, kiss her.
Ew.
And thankfully all of this guy's mates kind of had a bit more sense and they were like, yo, 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 no, that's not cool. Leave it out, mate. You know, don't take it that far kind of thing, which was nice. It was a nice saving grace, but it was so awkward the entire time it was happening and it shouldn't have really happened at all. You know, the minute I indicated that I was there with my girlfriend, they should have been like, message received. I do have another story that I read about online that I actually very nearly cried to my partner about when I was telling him, and that's because it was to do with the partner of somebody who was bisexual. And the story I read online was there was this guy and he was at a bar having a drink with his mate, and this was recent, by the way. I think you could probably Google this. He was I don't know his sexuality, he might have been straight, he might have been bi himself, but he was at a bar chatting with his mate, and his mate turned around and was like, oh, your missus, she's bisexual, isn't she? And he just brought it up like to just discuss about something that reminded him of it. Like they were just chatting about it. And then the guy whose girlfriend it was, he went out for a cigarette and a group of guys batted him. And like, as they were kicking his head in, were like, that's for your filthy, disgusting, bi missus. Ugh. Kind of thing. Like they actively said why they were kicking the shit out of him. Like they wanted him to know they were beating him up because his girlfriend was bisexual. And I was like, that's outrageous. I was like, I, you know, the idea that that could happen to anybody was so upsetting. You know, they didn't even, you know, witness anything that might not have sat right with them, you know, if they were like massively biphobic. It was just the very thought of this man dating this bisexual woman was so repugnant to them that they beat the shit out of him, and it broke my heart. I felt really sorry for the guy, and then, you know, the entire time I was reading it, you know, obviously I could only see my partner Luke's face. I was like, could you imagine?
Awful.
It was so, you know, it's horrible, but you do have a tendency to sort of put yourself into these stories.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I just like saw it happening to Luke, and you know, I don't think it would ever happen to Luke. Thankfully we live in a really nice area, and we live in a really queer friendly city, but it was just really scary.
Yeah, I know, that is scary. No, just knowing that the potential is out there for people to think that way and to do something like that, it's pretty vile.
But by the same token, I've actually met some really respectful dudes who have, the minute I've kind of indicated that I'm out with my girlfriend, they've backed off, which is really nice. And I don't know if it's true of everybody, but in my experience, when I've been out with a woman and I've been approached by like a guy or a gang of dudes, and they obviously want to buy one or both of us a drink. It's interesting because there's a moment in my brain where I'm like, I'd want to give my girlfriend the autonomy to stand up to these guys on her own, if that makes sense. Not necessarily stand up to, but like, you know, take control of the situation herself, because I, you know, I trust in her autonomy and stuff like that. And then there's also another side of me that immediately wants to be like, I need to take the lead in this situation to make sure she's not like afraid or concerned. And I don't know, that's just something I would never experience dating a guy, like having to respect my partner's autonomy, if that makes sense.
Yes, no, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's not really something we sort of have to take in mind, is it?
No, I think men might have to, especially more modern men, might have to consider it a little bit more with the women they're dating at the moment. You know, like, for example, if a guy approaches another dude's girlfriend, you know, the dude should really let the girlfriend turn around and say, I'm not interested. And she shouldn't have to say, because I'm here with my boyfriend. Like, her just not being interested should be enough for reason to just end that interaction there and then, if that makes sense.
But obviously, there's a lot of guys who don't really respect women's input on the thing. So sometimes it takes a man to go, look, dude, she said she was with me, kind of thing. And sorry, that wasn't articulated very well.
No, I get it. They don't respect a woman's autonomy until a man is in the picture.
Yes.
They won't respect a no until a woman turns around and says, because I have a boyfriend. Because to them, there is no other reason that a woman wouldn't want to date them.
Yes.
And also, I think not so much now, but like, you know, men of a certain generation were really conditioned by the media, by movies, by romance novels, etc., etc., to constantly badger women and wear them down into dating them.
Yes, to make some sort of grand romantic, if they just make the right big grand romantic gesture, then she'll change her mind.
Yeah, or they just keep trying and trying, eventually she'll see what a nice guy.
Yeah, or just stalk her. Exactly, just stalk her into submission.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's a lot of rom-coms out there that have a lot to answer for.
Yeah, it's why I can't really watch and enjoy rom-coms, which is a shame, because I like romance and I like comedy, and I'm like, let's put those two fucking sides of the sandwich together. And then for some reason, the filling's always disgusting.
Yeah, yeah, gross.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. So another kind of question I wanted to ask, and this kind of ties in with one of my earlier questions about differences between dating people of different genders. And obviously, you know, we have been talking largely about men and women. I've dated people that weren't on the gender binary. You haven't at the moment, but
no,
you're
I
open
haven't.
To it, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Again, it's just living where I live. There's not a great scope for opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
Sort of small town, yeah, it's not really... not really conducive to those kinds of, or, you know, to kind of broadening one's horizons in that aspect.
And unfortunately, my next question is maybe going to be a little bit exclusionary of people who don't fall on the who fall outside of the gender binary. And that is, do you think the stereotypes about dating different genders are true? For example, some people say that women are better communicators, but guys are more chilled out, laid back. Like, what's your experience with that?
I would definitely say that guys are not always more chilled out and laid back. I think that's due to the way that certain aspects of people's personality are portrayed. I think men can be more avoidant, and women can be more anxious in their relationship styles, and that translates to more laid back. But I wouldn't say it is laid back or chilled out at all. It's just them being avoidant. I hate to generalise, but women that I've found have been better communicators, because it's sort of more acceptable for women to express how they feel, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas it's sort of less so. You know, the patriarchy harms everybody
in
so many ways. So yeah, I think certainly the people that I have tended to date or be with, that women do tend to sort of express their needs a bit more clearly. Whereas the chaps have been a bit more, well, I don't want to talk about this, I just avoided it. I'm trying to think now of the stereotypes about men and women that I might have encountered, but I can't think of anything. Well, how about you?
So with regards to the women I've dated, I think I've dated women who would maybe adhere to a stereotype that women are very emotional. I've definitely dated some exceptionally emotional women. I've dated some women who are so emotional that it made me, who cries at everything, feel as though I am an emotionless corpse. Like, I've dated some women who have been that emotional, and I've never dated men who have been that emotional. But by the same token, I've also dated women who were really closed off, and women who, strangely enough, kind of made it their personality that it was a little bit pick me, that it was like, oh, I'm not emotional, I'm not like other women.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing wrong with being emotional.
No.
I'm like, that's absolutely fine. You know, you just need to be able to communicate your emotional needs and not let your emotions in any way lead you into disrespecting somebody's boundaries, which is a problem I had in one of my relationships with a woman previously, is that my boundaries were kind of falling by the wayside anytime she got remotely upset.
Yeah.
Which was sad, really. But I, you know, and I would definitely say that all of the men I dated need to communicate better. Just need to take some time. What's the word I'm looking for? I think a lot of the guys I've dated needed to take some time to really think about their feelings and not be so reactive, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think just taking time to pause and actually consider why they feel the need to react a certain way to certain things, and then to have a decent conversation about it. For example, with regards to I use the word commitment, I dated a lot of guys who we were obviously dating and we were doing everything that a boyfriend and a girlfriend would do. You know, we were hanging out, we were spending time with each other, we were meeting each other's families, we were obviously sleeping together, and they just flat out were like, however, you're not my girlfriend, I won't call you my girlfriend. And I'm like, why not? And they're like, no, because I don't want a girlfriend, I told you, I'm not boyfriend and girlfriend. I'm like, and you know, a lot of my time was spent kind of trying to not, you know, I didn't want to push it because it, you know, there's a big stereotype that women are really needy, and unfortunately, you know, younger Bridie wasn't as self-aware and aware of the ways in which the patriarchy sort of harms women while they're dating. So the minute, you know, any guy would give me any indication that I was being remotely needy, it would immediately make me drop and disregard all of my emotional needs. And when I think back to it, I'm like, obviously I wanted to be boyfriend and girlfriend, because obviously it sounds really juvenile to say boyfriend and girlfriend. But at the time, that's what it was, because obviously I really liked the people I was dating.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's only as you get older, you realize that, you know, the patriarchy is kind of designed to make women disregard their own needs in a big way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really shitty. And all the stereotypes about women in dating, again, are just kind of designed to make women forego their own needs.
Absolutely. I would 100% agree with that. And be cool, you know, be the cool girl.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing about that.
Because when you think about, go on.
Oh, no, no, I was just going to say, in that film Gone Girl, there's a whole thing, a whole monologue about being the cool girl and about how the main character kind of suppresses and subjugates who she actually is to be the cool girl who drinks beer and eats pizza and, you know, and watches football and all that kind of stuff. And you know, we can do those very outward things, but again, just from very outward things like that, portraying a very sort of outwardly kind of different persona, and then also just completely disregarding your own feelings and your needs, as you say.
Yeah. And I think as well, when you think about it and you talk about like dating stereotypes with regards to men and women, you know, I think a lot more of the women's ones are negative than they are about men.
Yeah.
For example, the example I thought of off the top of my head was that dudes are more chilled out, laid back. Although I did say women are better communicators, but then that immediately moved into overly emotional, overly needy.
Yes.
You know, I've been told that I'm too talkative for some guys, which has been really hard to hear because, you know, I think communication's really important. And I'm like, well, if we're not talking, what are we doing?
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I think there are more negative stereotypes about women than there are men in terms of dating.
Well, the same thing that you would say about a woman, you know, sorry, the same things that you would say about a man that would be positive, well, as soon as you say it about a woman, it's immediately deemed as negative. Like men are men are assertive, but get a woman who speaks her mind and then she's immediately shrewish.
Oh yeah, she's bossy.
You know, bossy or shrewish. Yeah, exactly. Whereas a man, it's assertive. He speaks his mind.
Whereas if a guy's sort of like very social, very outgoing, you know, oh, it's fun. They're a bit of a Jack the Lad. But if a woman does it and a woman speaks up and like laughs out loud, she's loud. She's
yes.
a loud woman. She's shrill kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. And, you know, like we could unpack all of this, and we've kind of come out of dating while bisexual a little bit in the process. But I think it's, you have to have a dialogue about women and about the way the world views women when you talk about dating women.
Yeah.
And that's part and parcel of being bisexual. You date women, you have to understand that dating isn't isolated and it's not a bubble. It's impacted by the world around it, it's impacted by the media, and everyone's expectations when they go into a date have to have come from somewhere. And that might be from the patriarchy, and it might be from the shit things that are perpetuated by the media.
Exactly. Hate the media.
Hate the media. Burn it.
Hate it. Burn it down.
I really want to like talk about something happy, and I feel like we will, but while we're on this downward spiral, which by the way is something that I'm reading a book at the moment that discusses mental health from a viewpoint of like neuroscience, and they always use the term downward spiral, and it's really interesting because it's obviously such like a loaded term in terms of like what it does for your mental health.
Yeah.
But I am going to keep this conversation on a downward spiral.
Okay.
You, and this kind of falls into as well, buy shit from the internet, buy stuff that we found online. I want to talk to you about Married at First Sight because I'm really interested in this.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, basically, this follows on. I saw, because obviously we were always looking for sort of relevant and interesting content for our Twitter channel, aren't we? So I posted an article that I saw this week themed on a show called Married at First Sight, which seems to have kind
I've
of exploded.
It's trash, it's
yeah,
delicious.
I've never seen it. Yes, apparently it does sound like it's delicious trash. So I thought, well, that's nice and popular, isn't it? And it had this article that I saw was featured on the fact that it had its first openly bisexual contestant featuring on the show, which I was like, yay, you know, because representation, woo-hoo. So I tweeted about that, because I thought obviously it's kind of popular, maybe we've got followers that are into that show. And then it wasn't until a couple of days later that I found out that he was actually outed in front of his prospective bride by another contestant. And it just, the way it went down, it was just really horribly sad. You could just tell that when I watched the footage this morning, you could tell he was so uncomfortable, and the others present were just kind of laughing like it was a joke, and I felt for him so hard. Like, it's 2021 and we are still, as we said before, the punchline of a joke to some people, and these people, I think from what I saw, were sort of predominantly straight, but to gay and straight people we're viewed as a punchline. And I just thought, oh, I felt really sad. Because I thought it was a really positive thing.
Do you think the other contestant outed him as a way to make him less romantically desirable to the bride?
It was a woman. It was a woman that kind of prodded the discussion and drove it that way. Again, I don't really know enough about the show and the dynamics of the show to discuss, you know, what her motives might have been. I'm kind of tempted to go and sort of watch it now, really.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to watch that bit because it was kind of sad. So yeah, I have no idea, but I just thought, oh, because I thought it was going to be a really positive thing, and then it turned out to not be, you know, obviously a positive thing for him. It's really good that obviously these, you know, people are getting representation, but not at the expense of their feelings, you know.
No, and he, you know, it wasn't like he chose to out himself there. Somebody else outed him.
No, you could tell he was not. He wished to, because it was the first that this potential bride had heard of it, and you could see her face. She just sort of seemed a bit like, oh, like she didn't quite know what to do. And I don't know if, maybe given time, maybe I'm being uncharitable, maybe.
Yeah, there's no telling if she was biphobic or anything.
No,
it was just
not at all.
Brand new information to her, and she wasn't ready to hear it in that moment.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It was just really sad. I thought, oh, what a shame.
That is a shame. Aww. Yeah. Oh, now I'm sad. Stuff like that happens all the time in the media. I'm gonna bring it back round. I'm gonna get a little militant with mine.
Ooh, okay. Tell us about yours.
The bisexual thing I found on the internet that I've read and that I really enjoyed, although I have since seen people sort of picking away at it and unpacking it a little bit more. And I, you know, I am interested, you know, to hear from the people who are listening to this podcast what they think about it, because I thought initially saw it as a really positive thing, and I'm just going to preface it by saying I'm open to having my mind changed about it. But I found something called the Bisexual Manifesto, and all of what it said really rang true to me. And this kind of touches upon the definition of bisexuality, because it's really, people ask me all the time, what's the difference between being bi and pan? And I honestly, hand on heart, have to say, look, I can give you what the difference is to me, but if you asked another bisexual person or you asked another pansexual person, they would tell you something entirely different. It's very personal. The meanings of those two terms are very nebulous at the moment. Bi doesn't always just mean two. Like, bi doesn't, you know, mean binary necessarily, but it does to some people. So this bisexual manifesto kind of spoke really true to my definition of bisexuality and how it kind of crosses over into pansexuality. And I'm gonna attempt to read it out to you now. Bear with me. So the bisexual manifesto. We are tired of being analysed, defined and represented by people other than ourselves, or worse yet, not considered at all. We are frustrated by the imposed isolation and the invisibility that comes from being told or expected to choose either a homosexual or a heterosexual identity. Monosexuality is a heterosexist dictate used to oppress homosexuals and to negate the validity of bisexuality. Bisexuality is a whole, fluid identity. Do not assume that bisexuality is binary or duogamous in nature, that we have two sides, or that we must be involved simultaneously with both genders to be fulfilled human beings. In fact, don't assume that there are only two genders. Do not mistake our fluidity for confusion, irresponsibility, or an inability to commit. Do not equate promiscuity, infidelity, or unsafe sexual behavior with bisexuality. Those are human traits that cross all sexual orientations. Nothing should be assumed about anyone's sexuality, including your own. We are angered by those who refuse to accept our existence, our issues, our contributions, our alliances, our voice. It is time for the bisexual voice to be heard.
Love it. Round, wild.
I was gonna say, what do you think to that?
Yeah, no, I think it's correct. I've been reading up a lot. I mean, obviously when I was kind of up and coming, bisexual literally just meant men or women, you know.
Men and women.
Sorry, men and women, beg your pardon. So we knew so much less. There wasn't quite so much representation for non-binary or genderqueer or even trans, you know, trans people or anything like that. The spectrum was a lot smaller. But I've heard a lot of more people who see no distinction between bisexual and pansexual. I have to say, I just generally, my default is to just call myself bisexual, because the encounters that I've had have been with men and women, but I wouldn't kind of rule anybody else out, you know, on the basis of how they identify, if that makes sense. So yeah, I definitely say the bisexual manifesto does apply to me. I think it's pretty comprehensive, to be honest.
Yeah, I haven't initially, there's nothing I've kind of picked out from that I would at face value disagree with. Again, totally willing to have my mind changed on that, but I really liked it from an initial read. And I would say it's interesting about defining yourself as bisexual and pansexual, because I define myself as bisexual to people outside of the LGBT community. For example, like I might do it with like a distant relative or something like that. Whereas I kind of define myself as pansexual when I'm among, you know, fellow members of the LGBT community or like close relatives, like my mum knows I'm pansexual. I had a really nice moment, actually, when I first started dating Luke. And this is, like, massive brownie points. This is one of the reasons why I really liked Luke, actually. We were on a night out in the gay village in Leeds. This is way, way, way before Corona time, back when you could go out and touch a stranger's face and not be worried if you were going to die. And we were out partying, and we went out with his housemate, who I believe is gay, a gay man, and he was with a guy he was seeing whose sexuality is kind of unknown to me. And we went out in the gay village. We had a really nice time. Luke and I were really hitting it off. You know, we were having a little dance, having a little drink. And then the night was over and we were on our way home, and Luke's housemate's boyfriend maybe, turned around and said to me and Luke that it was really nice to see like a straight couple go out into the gay village and have a good time and not make a big deal about things and not be weird about it being gay. And Luke immediately turned around and went, "She's not straight, she's pansexual." And like, I didn't have to defend my own sexuality there. Aww. I didn't have to, defend's not the right word, but I didn't have to correct any assumptions.
Yeah.
Luke immediately did that, and I was like, oh, That's so nice, because, you know, I truly believe that if I'd been with a different guy, especially some of the guys I dated in the past, they might not have even really considered mentioning that, because I do believe some of the guys I've dated in the past who knew I was pansexual, I believe they kind of considered that I was straight when I was with them. Whereas one of the best things about, you know, being a pansexual woman in a relationship with somebody who really understands, you know, what it means to be bi or pansexual, as it has been with Luke, is that he 100% understands that, you know, just because I'm dating a man, it doesn't mean I'm any less attracted to women or people outside of the gender binary.
Yes. No,
but by
definitely.
The same token, it also, on the other hand, doesn't mean that I'm desperate to, you know, be in a relationship with a woman or somebody outside of the gender binary. You know, he's not worried that, you know, I'm secretly, you know, sat at home crying because I'm missing out. Like, he just completely gets it, which I love.
Yeah, that is very cool. I had quite a long relationship actually with a guy a few years ago who did not like any mention of me being bisexual. He was, and I quote, "Well, you must have a preference."
Oh, I hate that. You and must it was like, have a preference. Yeah, I'd be like, at the really moment, yeah, I do, and it's not you, pal.
Yeah. Anybody who's not you, mate. Yeah, pretty much. And it was just like, ooh, but he was a bundle of neuroses anyway. That was far from his only problem.
Skeevy anyway, wasn't
he? Yeah. So, yeah. Other than that, though, I think my other previous long relationship before that, it was kind of, it didn't seem to ever have an issue with the fact that I was bi. But, I'm never quite sure as to whether he sort of 100% believed it or not.
Yeah.
No idea really. He was never iffy about it anyway. So other than that, you know, now the future remains to be seen. Let's see what other
I hope the next person you date is like totally chill. That's all I can say.
Yes, me too.
You deserve some chill vibes in your life.
Oh God, don't I?
Speaking of people who you may date in the future, and this is such a tenuous link because I've got your list in front of me, and there's definitely somebody on this list that you cannot physically date, and the rest are celebrities. Who are your bicons? Who are the bisexual people in the media who you would love to date or just think are incredible?
Well, shall we start off with the one I'm physically impossible for me to do? So, David Bowie, obviously.
R.I.P. Legend.
R.I.P. Bless him. So I can't date him anymore. But do you know who I can date? Either Gillian Anderson, absolute bicon.
I would date Gillian Anderson. She is many years
so
my
amazing.
Senior. And
she's so amazing.
You know, I've never like really spotted like a woman who's like that much my senior, who I thought was like incredibly attractive. And then I saw Gillian Anderson in Sex Education and I was like, oh, that's so weird.
She's
I was
so
wearing
good.
Underwear before.
Like,
they don't seem to be
off.
Here anymore.
And the other one is Tessa Thompson, who is also another
beautiful,
magnificent actress. Incredible, incredible. And yeah, I love her. I love her so much. That's Valkyrie, if you didn't know, from Thor.
Yeah.
Obviously,
and all these people are like confirmed bisexuals.
Yes, confirmed bisexuals.
Which we love. We love a bicon.
We love a bicon. How about you? Tell us about yours.
So the first one I want to bring up is not somebody who I'd necessarily considered dating. Again, you know, she's quite a bit older than me. Nina Simone.
Wonderful. Absolute wonderful woman.
There is a video of Nina Simone talking about how a music producer neglected to pay her money.
Oh my God, I love this story.
And she basically went round to I don't know if she went round to his house or she saw him out in public, but she went out and the person who's interviewing her is like, didn't you, you know, bring a knife? And Nina's like, a knife? No, it wasn't a knife. It was a gun. And I'm like, I love this woman.
Oh my God.
And yet she basically was like, give me my fucking money. And I'm like, you give her fucking money. And all the comments under the YouTube video were like, you can't be going around pointing guns at people. I'm like, fucking give her money and she won't have to point a gun at you.
I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but she's been dead nearly 17 years.
Has she? Yes. I assumed she was dead, but I didn't want to say it in case I was wrong. But yeah. So aside from her being many years my senior, she's also
dead.
Many years my precursor.
Very much so. But yeah, she was a legend, absolute legend. Absolutely agree. And I love her music. So
I love her music too. And the next person on my list is also dead, and I definitely know they're dead. Freddie Mercury, who everyone thinks is gay, but he was in fact bisexual.
Yeah, absolutely. God, love him.
We love a bit of Freddie.
Who's your third?
Alan Cumming, absolute talent. The talent, the range, the performance, the beauty, the facial structure, the energy, the sexual energy. Alan, my first introduction to Alan Cumming was through the musical Cabaret. I saw him perform. He was the MC of Cabaret in a certain version of it that's on YouTube. Not all of it, just the songs. And honest to God, I was like, okay, something has awakened within me.
Really?
What is this sex? It was like, it's, and this is something that's also true, and please, you know, feel free to laugh at me for this.
Okay.
People who are, they play around with gender in a sexual way,
yeah,
are really hot to me. For example, yeah, Alan Cumming in Cabaret. And I think, you know, can you guess who my next person example
is? Oh, absolutely. Of course it's going to be Tim Curry.
It's Frankenfurter. The first time I watched Rocky Horror, I watched it with my two sisters, and they were all like, oh, this is a bit raunchy, isn't it? And oh, look, there's a man who's dressed as a woman. And I was like, oh, damn. Oh, damn, that's my jam.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, this is my thing. And I say, oh, no, but like, just so shocking that it wasn't anybody else's in the rooms. And I was like, I can't tell anybody that this is insanely hot to me. I was a bit young as well. I probably wouldn't have brought it up anyway.
Those fishnets, but I was just like, I think it was. Wow. Yeah, he was incredibly smoking hot, and I'd agree with that. Definitely formed some of my early opinions watching the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
Love a bit of Rocky Horror, and also to a lesser extent, David Bowie as the Goblin King a little bit has a gender sort of lines being blurred thing there. But I think maybe that might have just been the 80s in general.
Yeah. To be fair, it was a strange time.
How old were you when you saw David Bowie's dick through his pants in The Labyrinth?
Young, man. I was like maybe 8 or something.
Yeah, I think I was 8. I remember being like, that's a willy. That's a weenus. And like, again, I was watching it with my older sister. She obviously just didn't say anything. But we both knew we'd seen it. We'd both seen it. And now we talk about it and we remember it fondly.
Yeah, it was disconcerting. It was aggressive. It was an aggressive bulge. I'm just trying to think. Actually, you've just kind of unlocked a little memory. And the first lady that I ever thought, oh, she's pretty, and made me feel a little bit of a stirring, was in a film called Splash.
I know 80s. Splash. I love Splash. It was the mermaid.
Daryl Hannah as a mermaid.
Was she called Madison at the time, or
something? Yeah, she was called Madison.
We had that on VHS, or my gran had it on VHS.
It was such a good film. One of Tom Hanks' early...
Is it Tom Hanks? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I remember thinking, oh, she's pretty. And not really thinking too... Not really examining it too much.
Would you like to hear the single most closeted story you're ever going to hear in your life?
Yes, please. Of course.
So back when I was wee, I'm talking maybe under the age of 10, the very first like woman in anything that I had been exposed to who wasn't a straight woman. There were two, actually. It was Willow and Tara from Buffy.
Yeah.
And then there's a character in Sailor Moon. There's a lesbian couple in Sailor Moon. Mm. And one of them is slightly more masculine. She's called Haruka. And I used to like just have completely involuntary dreams that they weren't like sex dreams because I was really young and I didn't really have an understanding of sex necessarily, the ins and outs of it, but they were obviously very sexually charged and she was obviously like my partner in my dream. I know it's a bit weird because it's a cartoon character, but you can't help what you like when you're a kid.
No.
And I remember waking up and being so like fucked up by it that I was like, no, it's fine. It doesn't mean anything because she looks like a man. Therefore, you're not a lesbian. And like I was like, so it's A-okay.
Bless you.
And like I literally just completely repressed that and justified that to myself for several years.
Oh, well, you got there in the end, right?
I got there in the end. Never got to date a sexy butch, though, like Haruka, unfortunately.
Well, give it time. You never know.
Don't say that. You'd get Luke coming round. He'd be like, oi! Well, I think we've talked about every possible sort of avenue to do with dating while bi, at least from our own experiences.
I think you might be right. So thanks for listening, and make sure you're following us on Twitter at bi_lightning. I don't think there's anything left to say except goodbye!
Goodbye!